random shit the city spewed out. A minestrone of sweet wrappers, cardboard fragments, buckled coat hangers, paint pot lids, foils from biscuits, split indomie noodle packets, buckets with holes in them, cut grasses, jagged shards of wood, polystyrene food trays, spar plastic bags, pure water sachets, corroded poles, a flash mob of flip-flop parts, all of it turning over in the heat like a spit roast. She was not alone in her interest, a white heron balanced on a cracked bucket, its long orange beak swivelling as it appraised the various articles nearby. Two men had moored their low-slung canoe a respectful distance from the house and cast small nets. Neither party seemed to notice the body or her or the West African sun climbing towards its fiery zenith. The waiting fishermen were more focused on the waterfront mansion with its swaying palm trees, sparkling swimming pool and verdant garden, trying to imagine life on the other side of the electrified barbed wire topped fence. Daydreaming as such, it was as if they were all seeing, but not really, the rotten fruit, soda bottles, the twisted inner sole of a shoe, and the body, bumping up and down in tandem with everything else. They were oblivious to just another piece of garbage. Perhaps to them, a body was just a body. She knew there were occasionally dead animals in the water. Cows, pigs, dogs, rats, and the smell was just the smell. "Close the windows so the stink doesn't come in," Tonya said. Her husband refused to look outside. When she mentioned calling the police, he scoffed at the idea. "In this Nigeria." "And what happens to the body?" she asked. "What happens to the trash?" Tonya shrugged. "Who knows?" She remembered a strange feeling after he said that. Tension in her shoulders. At the time, she didn't understand it. But now she knew it was fear. She was afraid. She'd never been afraid of him before.
Chapter 1. Claudine. After. The last upload had been 6 months ago, in January. Nicole had posted only one photo of her, Tonya, and their two little sons next to a Batman-themed birthday cake outside in the garden. She looked very pretty, posing in a white summer dress, Tonya's arm around her. Claudine traced their smiles with her finger. "Phone off now, please." The air hostess waited impatiently in the aisle until Claudine pressed the power button and the screen went dark. Claudine settled back in her window seat and watched the Heathrow tarmac fall away. Slanted raindrops lashed the glass. Rain, rain, go away. She wouldn't miss the awful British summer. A thundering went through the aircraft, then a billowing sheet of cloud enveloped them, followed by a great calm and relief that it was too late to change her mind. Through the intercom came the pilot's announcement that the flight would be 6 hours to Lagos, arriving around 6 p.m. local time. The weather would be 75 degrees Fahrenheit at their destination and sunny. She hoped she wouldn't get to the house too late to ask questions. She didn't want to have to wait until tomorrow. Another night with Nicole still missing, no word on whether she was alive or dead was bad enough. But at least Claudine would be there, waiting for news thousands of miles away back in London, powerless to help, unable to do anything but watch the flies creep from one end of the window to the other, had been unbearable. Penny hadn't thought Claudine should go to Nigeria to find out what had happened. "This ain't on you, Claude," her sister had said. "You might have raised her, but you and Nicole haven't been close for years. Why go looking for someone who left and didn't look back?" Penny's question was fair. When Claudine didn't respond, she added, "It's not safe in Nigeria. Isn't there a war going on there with the Muslims? Boko something? They kidnapped all those girls, hundreds of them. And I saw this program on BBC Two, Welcome to Lagos, it was called, where everyone lived on a rubbish dump. Everyone! They lived on it. The rubbish."